Hi, I'm Solara Starr and welcome to the Solara Starr podcast. With over 20 years of experience, I've had the privilege of working with thousands worldwide and sharing my expertise across various media platforms. This podcast is your go-to resource for mastering manifestation and unlocking your ultimate magnetism. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode and let's dive in. And a very, very warm welcome back. Solara here. As always, it is beautiful to be back with you. Today, I would like to talk about something that I misunderstood for so many years, and I believe is one of the biggest misunderstandings that I see around our own personal development and inner healing. And this is the belief that if you've done enough work on yourself, that one day you're going to reach a point where nothing affects you anymore. Sadly, that's not the case. With that kind of thinking, it's almost like, oh, you know what? I'm never ever going to get triggered again. I'm going to run off into the sunset and live a happily ever after. I won't overthink anymore. I won't feel rejected anymore. I won't slip into old patterns anymore. And then when something does catch you off guard, the immediate conclusion, I thought that I'd healed this. I thought that I'd done all the work. And we then kind of get a little bit frustrated because we haven't reached the end goal that we had expected. But what if expectation is the very thing that's making you question your progress? What if having expectation is the very thing that leaves you feeling like you are not moving forward and like you are stuck or blocked in some way? Because healing, as far as I now understand it, after being on this personal development journey since 2003, it was never ever about reaching a place where life stops presenting you challenges. As long as your soul desires to grow and expand and receive more peace and freedom and abundance and love, you are always going to almost subconsciously invite in opportunities to release that of which is not whole, that of which is unhealed. So every single time a challenge does come in, no matter how long you've been on this personal development journey, it's actually a really good sign that you're moving forward. One thing that is absolute fact is life will always continue to change. And that's a good thing, because imagine if it stayed the same all the time and we never had the opportunity to experience even better versions of ourselves, better abundance, better health. We wouldn't ever have access to that. So it's a good thing that life is changeable. It's a good thing that relationships change. I certainly feel it's an amazing thing that relationships change, because the old version of me that was stuck in so many of my wounds, I'm really pleased that I've transcended her. But the only way that I could transcend her was by doing the deeper work and continue to heal and see challenges as opportunities for growth happening for me, through me, and not to me. Now, there are going to be new situations arise that you've never, ever encountered before. And this is actually a really good sign, because if you have stopped repeating old patterns and old cycles perpetually, and you now have new challenges coming in, I just want to say like a massive congratulations, because that shows that now you're not kind of oscillating in the same paradigm, just trying to survive. You're actually moving up and out into whole new awarenesses and opportunities as a result of that. And some of these challenges that you encounter, they're going to activate parts of you that have never needed your attention before. It's like, this is completely new. I wasn't aware that this was even a thing. That's a good thing. Now we're really talking deep transformation that's actually going to get you some traction and help you to move forward. So the question isn't whether you'll be triggered, because you will, and you almost want to be. I know that kind of sounds a little bit weird, but you want to be, especially if you want to grow, especially if you want to live a healthier, happier life. The real question is, what do I do with it? And what actually happens next as a result of it? If you've been following me for a while, you'll hear me say, and you hear many great teachers say, the problem isn't the problem. like the it's your perception of the problem that is the problem. I think that's attributed to Peter Crane, but to be honest, I think this is just wisdom that's been passed down through the ages. It's all said in different ways. He's fantastic, by the way. If you haven't followed him, I highly recommend it. He's the mind architect of absolutely fantastic human being. Most people experience a trigger and it's almost like a survival instinct to look outside of themselves and to go into some kind of story. So why did they do that? Like, what did they say that for? Oh, for heaven's sake, they always do this. Or how do I get them to change? Or, you know, I constantly feel like I'm kind of walking on eggshells with them. Or it's always looking outside. It's outside somehow being the problem. But a trigger, it isn't an instruction to investigate somebody else. It's not an instruction to build a case against somebody else either, because then you're just getting lost in the illusion that the trigger is the problem, but the trigger isn't the problem. Think of it more like an invitation to become more curious about yourself, especially if you're noticing that you're kind of getting the same triggers over and over again. From my experience, every single trigger reveals something about the relationship that you are having with yourself in that moment, but also because of things that have probably happened in the past. It's revealing where you are somehow abandoning yourself, where you are somehow dismissing your own feelings, where you are somehow making somebody else's emotions and well-being and comfort more important than your own. You may even be seeking reassurance instead of trusting yourself. You know, that's something that many of us do. I see it so often in my coaching practice, like needing to be understood and needing to be reassured that we've made the right decision or we're doing the right thing. And what that does is it just reinforces that we can't trust ourselves, that we're not safe with ourselves. And all the other things reinforce that we are abandoning ourselves. So, of course, if we look at the universe as almost like a metaphorical mirror, and if we are in a world where we feel misunderstood and abandoned and we can't trust anyone, it's usually because that's a reflection of something that is going on inside of us. I go into this a little bit more in my book, The Only Way Out Is In, Healing the Hidden Patterns Running Your Life. I highly recommend reading that. There are a couple of exercises in there in relation to this metaphorical mirror that I think you'll find extremely interesting. It can be a bit eye-opening, so I have to warn you, it's not for the faint-hearted. Some of it is like, whoa, and you might even find yourself kind of rejecting the information or perhaps even getting a bit defensive. That's actually a good sign because it's showing that it's kind of hitting the spot. So if you haven't had a chance to read that yet, you can get it off Amazon or you can get the hard copy from Waterstones. All of these triggers, they're not evidence that you're in a hostile world and that there's something wrong with you and that you're not good enough and that you don't belong or you don't matter. What they are is actually information. They're showing you where your attention is needed. They're showing where you need to go in order to grow. So it's kind of like a signpost in a way. Trouble is, when triggers happen, they can be really quite uncomfortable. So it's hard not to get lost in them. But that's why submerging in information like this can be so helpful, because it can just keep reminding you that you are actually more in control than you realize, and it's actually happening for you. It's an kind of in a roundabout way, it's a bit of an answered prayer, because it's to help you see where you are not free. And again, this is something Peter Crone says. You know, a lot of these things are simply showing you where you're not free. And the hidden pattern that I missed for years, and that so many of my coaching clients miss too, is when they stop asking, how do I stop getting triggered? How can I stop this person from doing that? How can I stop feeling so scared when X, Y, and Z happens? And start asking, what is this trigger asking me to see? What is this trigger inviting me to heal inside of me? What is this trigger signposting me to investigate and become curious about? Because underneath almost every single emotional reaction, there's going to be an old survival strategy. If you're not familiar with survival strategy, in the beginning part of my book, I go into the survival sphere, if you like. It's actually quite interesting, especially if you haven't been privy to some of this information before. It'll help you understand why things keep happening and why you keep doing things in the same way. It's a program that we're running, and there is loads of information of how that you can break free from that too. And it shows up in many different ways. So perhaps you've learned that being useful keeps you safe. Perhaps that you've learned that overperforming, overgiving keeps you feeling like you belong and that you matter and that you are important and that you're enough. Or perhaps you've learned that keeping everybody happy, it protects you from a feeling of abandonment and rejection. Well, if I keep doing this, then they won't be annoyed with me. Or if I keep doing this, then they won't leave me. They won't frown upon me. They won't judge me. And we work so hard on a subconscious level to keep ourselves safe. It's actually when you start to see these hidden patterns that have been running your life, it's actually quite sad, and I mean it in a loving, compassionate way, just how far we have gone and to such great lengths so we can feel like we belong and so that we feel like we're enough. You may be the type of person that in the past that you've learned that fixing other people's problems or rescuing them, it gives you a sense of value. Also, it might be because seeing other people struggle and suffer is uncomfortable. Of course it is. It's horrible seeing other people suffer and struggle. But rescuing them doesn't actually help them. It just delays their progress. Because like us, we have challenges that only we can overcome. We have certain strengths that we can access through overcoming our own challenges. And when we rescue somebody else, we're stopping them from accessing these amazing gifts that they have the ability to build inside of themselves. Now, a lot of the time, we rescue other people, or we try and fix other people's problem because watching them struggle leaves us feeling uncomfortable. So we're trying to relieve our own discomfort in a way as well. And that's another form of abandonment, because we're not actually looking at the real issue as to why we are so triggered by other people going through their challenges. You've heard the saying, no pain, no gain. I really understand that now. Like, some of the deepest and darkest moments of my life, nobody could save me from. It was something that I had to learn to overcome within myself. Luckily, I had great information and a wonderful mentor that could help guide me along the way. So I do think that having somebody by your side that you trust that can help guide you through your challenges can help you move through them, I guess, quicker, not in a spiritual bypassing way, but giving us other perspectives and perceptions on things. It can completely change the way that we look at things. I think it was Dr. Wayne Dyer that said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And sometimes just a tiny little shift, it can shift everything. And that's why I always say that it's the behavior that's not the problem. The trigger's not the problem. The problem's not the problem. The behavior in itself is solving a problem that your nervous system still believes exists. So it's kind of like a survival strategy. And it's just trying to protect you, which is really lovely. But actually, you've outgrown that version of you. You're not that person anymore. You don't need protecting in the same way. So all it's doing is keeping you in an old program that you are ready to move out and up through. So when you see all of this on a deeper level, something really beautiful and extraordinarily miraculous appears to happen. You stop judging yourself, your patterns, like, why do I keep doing this? What's wrong with me? And instead, you start to become more curious about what those patterns are trying to protect, why they are there in the first place, and how actually they've helped you and kept you safe. You don't want to just stay safe anymore. You don't want to just survive anymore. You want to thrive. So those old patterns that are keeping you safe are the ones that are actually giving you the illusion of being stuck. So we need to look at what specific patterns are driving your life. And this is why I birthed the 7-step recovery process from abandonment and betrayal and self-rejection. It's something I work one-to-one with my coaching clients, and I run group sessions with my beautiful friend Caroline as well. It is a deep dive. If you really are ready to see these hidden patterns that are running your life, do do reach out. Send me a DM if you're watching this on Instagram, or if you're listening to this, you can email me solara@solarastar.com. And we can at least just hop on a free 30-minute call just to see how I can help you to really get to the root cause of why certain things keep happening. When I look at self-abandonment and how many of my clients self-abandon, it can be so subtle. That's why we don't even know it's happening. That's why we repeat these patterns and cycles over and over, because we don't even know it's happening. Like, it's very subtle in the sense that we may say yes to something, but you'll feel like a tightness and a constriction in your body, and actually you really don't want to do it, but you're smiling and you're forging ahead anyway. That's self-abandonment. That's self-rejection. It's self-betrayal. When we over-explain, and this is something that I'm in recovery from, over-explaining because you need somebody else to understand. I've been misunderstood so much in my life. I turned it around. I had a bit of an epiphany the other day. I spent so much of my life over-explaining for fear of being misunderstood. But people are always looking at me through the lens of their own wounds and their own perception and their own triggers anyway. It's almost an impossible task to get people to understand anyway. And actually, I'm like, well, I've actually been misunderstood most of my life. So it's actually my superpower. Actually, I'm actually quite good at being misunderstood. So instead of seeing it as a bad thing, I can see it as a superpower that I have developed. And also, self-abandonment is also rescuing people when they haven't actually asked to be rescued. And you might notice like a whole load of resentment builds as a result of it. You know, I've tried to help them and I've told them to do this and I've even paid for that and I've X, Y, and Z. And all this resentment builds. It's because there's something in there that has been driven by something that we need to get from the situation. We need to take them out of their pain because I'm feeling discomfort by watching them in discomfort. So by taking away their pain, it eases my pain. It's not always the case, by the way, but a lot of the time when we rescue somebody else, we're not only bypassing our own journey, we're not only allowing ourselves to look at why we're rescuing them in the first place, but we're actually stopping them from evolving. And many of us also, this is another way that rejection and abandonment is disguised, as taking responsibility for someone else's emotions, like trying to manage the environment, trying to stop that person from feeling pain, trying to stop that person from getting angry with us. Oh my goodness, the nervous system is just constantly on edge. And if we look at manifestation through the lens of our nervous system, if we really want to reach great levels of attracting wonderful things into our life, a life full of love and peace and freedom and passion and purpose, we got to get our nervous system out of survival mode, because survival is really familiar to our nervous system. So even if something is amazing and it's going to make such a massive difference in your life, if your nervous system feels something is a threat or unfamiliar, it's going to block it. That's why it's so important that we look at where we are impacting our nervous system, where we are abandoning, rejecting, and betraying ourselves and keeping ourselves locked in that survival mode. Another one is you may replay conversations over and over and over in your head, even having and adding new aspects to the conversation, like arguing with people that aren't even there. The conversation is long over, and what you would have said, and if they then said this, and what you would have said back. That is another way that we are keeping ourselves locked and abandoning ourselves, because we're looking for evidence as to why another person is wrong in order for us to feel like we are right. But it doesn't need to be that way. We don't need to make somebody else bad or wrong in order for us to feel like we're right. Our feelings are valid and our feelings are important and our feelings absolutely matter, and holding strong in that is where part of the freedom is available to us. Also, and this is another thing that I did so much, is trying to manage how other people feel about you. You know, whether they think you're a bad person, or, you know, whether they think that you've done something wrong. Now, the truth is, and I've heard this so many times over the years, but I never quite grasped it until I did this 7-step process. It was actually birthed through my own process, that actually I can't ever change what somebody else thinks of me. What they think of me is through the lens of their own perception, and there's nothing I can do about that. And my journey is for me to understand me. for me to accept me. Your journey is for you to understand you, for you to know that you are already enough, and you don't need to go to these great lengths to prove that you matter and to prove your worth, because you already are these things. So none of these behaviors that I've mentioned, none of them actually begin with other people. I know it kind of feels like it does, because they come along and they push this button. And sometimes those buttons are really massively activated. But I'd like to gently remind you, they didn't install the button. They're only showing you what is unhealed within yourself. And that can be challenging, especially when we are so massively activated and triggered. So a lot of the time, all of this begins with the relationship that you are having with yourself. And when that is in a healthy place, everything else starts to flow in a completely different way. And this brings me to the conversation of boundaries, which I feel is really, really important. I think boundaries have become like one of the most, or certainly for me, I don't know about you, but really misunderstood words in personal development. We've been taught that boundaries are telling other people what they can and can't do. I'm going to put a boundary in place. You can't do that anymore. I'm going to put a boundary there. And it kind of comes from more of a kind of a passive aggressive or aggressive place. But I don't actually think that that's where boundaries begin. I think boundaries begin with you, with me. They begin with asking yourself things like, what am I available for? Am I available for abandoning myself in this situation where I keep saying yes when I mean no? Am I available for sarcastic remarks that actually really hurt my feelings? Am I available for that? No. And every time I smile and laugh along, I'm actually abandoning myself. I'm not showing myself that I'm there for me. Am I available for carrying responsibility that belongs to someone else? So let's just say somebody is experiencing either health challenges or financial challenges. Is it my responsibility to carry their challenges? I mean, how lovely would it be if we could carry other people's challenges in a healthy way and they would still grow and evolve? But we can't, unfortunately. Their challenges are their responsibility and that belongs to them. It's not to say that we can't have empathy and we can't have compassion, but we can see them overcoming their challenges. We can see them gaining great strength through having to experience adversity. We can pour good energy into the pot. We can encourage them so that they can grow and become the best version of themselves. But if we try and carry something that doesn't belong to us, not only are we stopping them from growing, but we're actually stopping ourselves from growing too. So the real question is, why am I carrying something that doesn't belong to me? What am I looking to get from this on a subconscious level for myself? There is always something and a need that we are filling by doing so. And then we can ask questions like, am I available for making someone else's emotional comfort more important than my own well-being today? And this is the over-explaining, backtracking. Am I available for that? No, I'm not, because those patterns hurt me. Every time I'm doing something like that, I'm saying my feelings don't matter. I'm not important. Other people are more important than me. So we actually corrode our own confidence by the way that we show up in everyday situations. And that's why I think there's been a bit of a misconception around boundaries. I think a lot of the time, actually, the boundaries begin with us. Like, what am I available for? And yeah, it does mean that we need to change our behavior towards certain people and certain things because we've allowed certain things to happen as a result of some kind of wound that we've had running beneath the surface. So it's not about, I need to put a boundary in place for them. It's like, wow, I haven't spoken up for myself, or I haven't really been honest about how certain things leave me feeling. And that's when we really start to get to the depth of transformation. And that's when we can start embodying. So we can have compassion for someone without carrying. Absolutely. And one of the hardest lessons for deeply empathic and caring people is recognizing that compassion, it does not require self-sacrifice. You can love somebody deeply. You can care about them. You can care about what they are going through, or shall I say, you can care about their growing through, and you can genuinely want the best for them without carrying their burden, without carrying their soul correction, as they say Kabbalistically, without fixing it for them, you're taking away the ability for them to gain great wisdom and strength without making it your responsibility. Focus on your challenges, which are your responsibility. And sometimes by trying to fix other people, it's also a way of avoiding some of our own stuff too. So that's another little lens that you can look at this through. And I think so many empathic people confuse love with responsibility. I did that for a very long time. But just remember, every person is walking their own journey. What works for one won't work for another. So there's many different ways. They're going through their own lessons. They're experiencing their own consequences from past actions. They're going through their own growth. And sometimes the most loving thing that we can do is not stepping in. It's stepping back and allowing the metamorphosis to take place in their life, allowing that deep transformation, even though it's challenging to witness. We know that something amazing and extraordinary is going on for them, because we trust that they are capable of finding their own way. And now you can focus on you, and you can focus on your patterns and your healing. So why does healing feel so uncomfortable? Oh my goodness, it can be so uncomfortable at times. And here's the part that catches so many of us off guard. And knowing all of this intellectually, it's great, but it doesn't suddenly make any of this easy. Of course, knowing it intellectually makes it easier, but it doesn't suddenly take away the pain and the frustration of these challenges. Because every single time you choose not to rescue, every single time you choose not to over-explain, every time you allow somebody else to experience the consequences of their own past choices, your nervous system will probably become quite uncomfortable. And I want you to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because that's where your personal breakthrough is. That's where you would normally go into some of these old patterns to try and ease your discomfort. Now, it's important to say it's definitely not because you're doing anything wrong. That discomfort is because you are experiencing a feeling that you would have automatically reacted to in the rescuing, in the over-explaining, and now you're just left with this feeling, and it will pass. Feelings, they always do pass. And it's so uncomfortable because it feels so unfamiliar as well. Because for years, all those old behaviors, they were running subconsciously, and they were there to help you keep safe in a roundabout way. So when you stop doing them, your body interprets this as danger. But actually, it's more dangerous staying in the pattern for yourself. And this is why healing isn't just simply about changing your thoughts. Yeah, it's great to have positive thoughts, but it's actually quite a lot deeper than that. Unless we see these deep patterns that are running our life, it doesn't matter how many affirmations you do, positive thinking, it's not really going to be very impactful, because you've still got that same program running underneath. So this is about choosing your nervous system. Rather, it's about teaching your nervous system that choosing yourself is safe. And one thing I got from one of the great Kabbalistic teachers, whom I absolutely love, it's recognizing when I'm feeling uncomfortable and then saying, it's okay, I approve of this. I approve of this boundary I'm putting in place. I approve of not rescuing this person. It's okay. I know that this feels uncomfortable. I approve of it. And that discomfort might link back to a younger version of yourself. If you speak to the universe, if you pray to God, it's another really nice way of saying, thank you for reminding me that I do already matter, that I am already worthy. Thank you for reminding me that I am already enough, and I don't need to go into this old pattern to prove something that I am already. And you're not going to need to just do this once, by the way. When you start seeing these patterns, you can't unsee them. You're going to probably start to notice it's happening pretty much everywhere. So that's why practicing over and over and over and over again is going to be your best friend. It's going to really help you break free from these patterns, which makes me so excited for you, because it's like, oh, I'm so done with going over and over, like oscillating, as Robert Fritz says in The Path of Least Resistance. It's like, also, it's just going back and forth in a rocking chair. You're not actually stepping out of the rocking chair and creating this extraordinary life, because these hidden patterns that are just keeping you stuck the whole time. So healing isn't about becoming someone new, but it is about becoming someone who recognizes a trigger more quickly. Somebody who is then able, through the tips I've given you, like I approve, allowing yourself to feel the discomfort and reconnecting to source, God, the universe, to return to yourself more gently. I approve of this. I don't need to go into that behavior to prove my worth. Somebody who doesn't abandon themselves, even if you just start working on one area, it's going to have massive impact. You're going to start building confidence in your own ability to change these patterns, but you're going to notice it's going to have a big impact in all areas of your life. You'll start to trust yourself a little bit more. And you'll also notice that you may have spent years and years in the same pattern, but now you might find actually it's months and months, which is better than years and years. Or perhaps it becomes weeks or days or afternoons, or it gets to a point where it's like 20 minutes. And eventually that pattern will disappear and you'll look back and go, actually, I haven't felt that in a long time. That feels good. And that's what healing looks like, because awareness creates choice. It's such an important word, that awareness. And when you have that awareness, you then have a choice to choose differently, a choice to no longer reactively respond to the old pattern, but to proactively carve a new way forward. And of course, your choice is going to create these wonderful new experiences, building your confidence. New experience is going to create a feeling of safety in your nervous system, which is ultimately what we want. And you're going to slowly start to embody that safety over a period of time. And this is one conscious thought at a time. So the next time you find yourself triggered, which you will, rather than asking, why is this happening again? Ask yourself something different. What part of me has been activated? What old pattern am I stepping into here? What belief might be running the show? Where am I abandoning myself? What do I actually need in this moment? Because healing isn't actually about becoming someone new. I always thought it was for many years. Who am I becoming? It's no, it's just stripping away all the layers and all the protective mechanisms of who we thought we were, or who we thought we should be or must be or have to be in order to fit in and matter and stay safe. Beneath all of that, there's this beautiful, bright, shining light who knows their worth, who lives a life full of passion and purpose. So it's about remembering who you are underneath these survival patterns that you've carried for so long. And every trigger becomes your doorway to accessing the most beautiful version of yourself. It becomes another opportunity to strengthen the relationship that you have with yourself. Every boundary becomes an act of self-respect. Every conscious choice becomes another promise that says, I'm not going to abandon you this time. I'm here for you and I approve of this. And over time, that promise stops feeling like something that you have to remember. It just becomes who you are. And that is so beautiful. So if this episode resonated with you, I highly encourage you to share it with somebody else who might be going through something similar, actually. If you think of somebody who's stuck in their old patterns, who keeps repeating over and over again, maybe send them the link. Whether they listen to it or not, that's entirely up to them. But you can also ask yourself this question: is where in my life am I still leaving myself in order to hold someone else? And remember, if you'd like to explore more of my work, my book, The Only Way Out is In, Healing the Hidden Patterns Running Your Life. It takes you through so many processes that I've used to get me where I am right now. The 7-step process isn't in there. This has been birthed since. And the idea of the book is to help you become familiar with some of the tools, so when you go into a 7-step process, you really are ready for that deep dive. So thank you for joining me today. As always, it is such a pleasure. I love being here with you. Thank you for your lovely encouragement as well. If you have any questions that you would like answered in relation to this or any of the other episodes, please do reach out. Email me, solara@solarastar.com, and I will answer those questions on the listener question episode. But for now, take care and thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in to the Solara Star podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you hit subscribe so that you never miss out. And you can stay connected with me on Instagram @SolaraStar. And for even more inspiration and explore my courses and coaching @SolaraStar.com. You deserve to live a deeply connected and fulfilling life. And it's only you that can make it happen.